Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Harbaugh now heads to the Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert on the move and throws and touchdown.
We're going to be known as world champions. And we're going to do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better than that?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wool Dog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
We're so close to the draft.
I can see it. It's so bright. Let's not forget Kyle, the coach, Duggan.
I was just listening to you introduce Kevin. Maybe, do people know why we call you Kevin Kev Huggin Duggan?
I don't even remember now.
It rhymes.
You said that. I think this is what it was. You said that the first time we go to the tailgate that you were going to start hugging everyone because you're right. So excited to see everybody.
And I do it every time we go. So I hope I'm living up to the name.
You do actually give a lot of hugs.
So he does.
I'm a big hug guy.
He's a hugging son of a bitch. But all right, folks, we've got plenty to talk about this episode. We've got a fan focus, a Craig experience, and an Ask Bolt fam lined up for you. So let's waste no time and start at the top here. Finally, we talked about this last week. Everybody who's been waiting for the news of like, where's the Charger party going to be? Well, you've got options now. Yeah. Usually it's in one central location, but now they're doing what's called the draft pub crawl.
Genius.
On Thursday. It is a brilliant idea because they've got 5 different bars that they're gonna be at,
all from San Diego to LA. It's not just LA. It's like such a smart thing to do. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of you, Chargers. This is actually genius.
No, this is really
it's very smart. It's not a pub crawl in the sense that you could go to every one of them.
Right.
You could try.
I guess. You could.
But odds of getting pulled over are pretty high. I'd be hauling ass from pick 1 to 32.
You could maybe Uber from one to the other. I don't know if you'd want to crawl.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
But they're going to have current players and legends set to visit all the local establishments, hosting Chargers NFL draft watch parties from El Segundo to Ocean Beach and everywhere in between. The Chargers pub crawl is set for day one. So that's April 25th, Thursday, for the 2024 NFL draft. It spans more than 120 miles across Southern California. That's why you shouldn't crawl, folks.
No.
Featuring 5 locations, north, south, east, and west, from El Segundo to Ocean Beach. Highlights of the watch parties include chargerized venues, giveaway items, exclusive merchandise, and visits by current players and Chargers legends. Honestly, like, one of the best things about this, too, I think it's the one that's at Dave & Buster's. That's going to be the Die Hard Bolt Club watch party as well for the NFL draft. So there's going to be Die Hard Bowl Club. There's going to be players there, and any one of these places. They've got Bastards Canteen and Downey, Dirty Birds and Ocean Beach, Rockin' Brews at Buena Park, great name, and Sauced Barbecue and Spirits in El Segundo.
Kyle, are there any of these you could go to? Are any of these close by?
Ocean Beach is the, I don't know. I feel like I'm right smack dab in the middle of Orange and Ocean Beach.
Yeah.
So I guess.
So take your pick.
Roll the dice.
Tire Bowl Club's going to be in Orange, so I guess that would be
the move.
If I can make it happen.
Yeah, that would definitely be the move if you can, because then it's not just player and alumni appearances. You also got Charger Chat appearances as well.
Yeah.
No promises. Oh, boy. I have a lot of kids.
Too late. I've already promised for you.
I promise I will never
I
die.
I solemnly swear Kyle is up to no good. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun, though, folks. So if you're in the area, definitely go check it out. I mean, merch and giveaways, player appearances. What more could you ask for on one of the most exciting nights in the off-season? It's going to be a really good time.
And potentially a very busy night for the Chargers with multiple picks.
Dude. It keeps, every time I think about it, it's just like, is it tomorrow? No, it's still over a week away. Damn it.
I've been gone for work for like almost a month. I've been in Canada. So football's not really around up here. Like people aren't like just talking about it on the corner shops, like in the US of A.
They don't see you in your Charger stuff and they have combo.
No, I met one guy who's a Canadian football coach that wants to talk to you, Kyle, because he wants to get into coaching and wants some advice. We'll talk about this later. This is an off-air deal. But I met one guy. I forgot about him. He's pretty funny.
He wants to teach coach some Canadian football, eh?
Oh, I think he wants to do some American football, eh? Ooh. I think that was what he wants to do. But
he's down in the States.
He pulled out his like play sheet. He's like an offensive coordinator. Like he was like serious. I was like, I don't know what any of that is. I'm going to hook you up with my brother. So I might have to hook you guys up. It was funny because today Adam was like, so you know, we're gonna watch the draft together, right? Like, when's, oh my god, that's in like a week. What is going on?
Like, it's 2 weeks away. I'm like, it's a week from Thursday, my guy.
I was like,
it's coming in hot.
So I'm so ecstatic.
We only have two more of these until it's draft day.
Yeah. And I think we've had a few people ask. I think we each need to do our own 5-round mock draft and we'll present it to the audience.
Hoorah.
One last off into the sunset. You got a PFF. It'll help you. You'll feel good about it. And then we'll let people make fun of us in the comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're right for that.
Yeah. I'm built for this.
Yeah. I'm built for
favorite part of this thing.
Poking fun of.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Looking over at Twitter, Warren Sharp tweeting out that the new NFL strength of schedule for 2024, 5 of the easiest schedules right now. Number one is the Falcons. But number two is the Chargers right now, slated to have one of the easiest schedules going into 2024. Listen,
I'll take that.
Take what we can get, right?
Yeah. I got to give coach, 5 or 6 weeks to get the train going at full speed. And if we can run into some lighter opponents to start the season, oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Watch out. Oh boy.
Some of that Canadians rubbing
off. Oh yeah. Don't you know?
Oh boy.
Take off, eh?
So, that makes me even more excited to see whenever the schedule comes out, which I think happens shortly after the draft.
God, I need that so bad because my whole like future work schedule is predicated on not that, but I don't know. My availability of going to like games and stuff. Like, I need to know what the schedule is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to know Mondays, Sundays, and Thursdays.
Yeah.
You look at the opponents as far as why it's showing that we have one of the lightest, like easiest schedules. You get to play the NFC South, which for the last several years has been pretty poor as far as quarterback play goes. So the NFC South helps. And then when you finish dead last in your division, it makes your whole schedule a little bit easier because then you get to play the last place of the AFC East and all of those teams. So I don't like that we have an easy schedule. That means we played poorly last year. So hopefully it's the last time.
But listen, you got to take the good with the bad. You got to know that if that didn't happen... Sure. We wouldn't be sitting with Jim Harbaugh and all these other
We didn't schedules. Suffer for nothing. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's true.
This is our...
It's our time down here. This is their time up there. It's our time down here.
Let's see. Some other news that came out. This was sad to see. Eric Sievers sadly passed away. Former Chargers player. Those of you that don't know, Sievers was selected by the Chargers in the 4th round of the 1981 NFL draft.
He preceded us.
Yeah, he was there for, I think, about 8 or 9 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He was an integral part of Eric Coryell, San Diego head coach Don Coryell's wide-open passing attack with quarterback Dan Fouts. His best receiving years with the Chargers were in 84 and 85 when he posted identical seasons of 41 catches for 438 yards. And if you don't know him, if you know at least a little bit of Chargers history, that epic in Miami, that iconic photo of Kellen Winslow getting carried off, he's one of those guys that's holding Kellen Winslow up. So hell of a guy. And I think he was also on TV for a little bit doing some Monday night reporting stuff. So, I mean, sad to see him go. He was battling, I think it was bladder cancer, which is such a sad way to go. But hell of a guy, and we tip our caps to you, Mr. Sievers.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Rest in peace.
Thank you for your service to the Chargers.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
We really appreciate you. And you're part of history now with that iconic photo. You'll forever be remembered in that.
Yeah.
Some other bit of sad news that came out. One of our fellow Charger fans, one that we've interacted with. One of our brothers, James Ebo, is going through a pretty difficult time. He's been having some heart trouble and recently found out he's going to need a heart transplant in the future. And we want to get behind our friend James, and we want to share his GoFundMe to help with his rising hospital bills. So you can find a link to his GoFundMe in the description. We're going to put it down there. And if you can also go to GoFundMe and type in James Ebo. If you have the means, every little bit helps. I can't imagine being in a situation like this. But one of the best things about this fandom is we will always rise to the occasion to help somebody in need, a fellow Charger fan. And James is one of the best. The guy's been to just about every NFL draft he could possibly go to.
And this is the first one he hasn't been to in like 20 plus years.
Yeah,
because he's not going to be able to go to this situation he's in right now. And
yeah, I got to meet him last year at the draft. Yeah. Such a great guy.
He was essential in getting us to the draft in Kansas City. So we're just pulling for him. We got you back, James. And anything you need from us, man, we got you.
Yeah. So definitely go check it out and support whatever you can. And James, we're thinking about you, buddy. We love you, and we hope you get through this. Boy, there's no good segue out of this one. We also have a Patreon. If you don't know this, patreon.com/chargerchat.
That was a tough
transition.
Oh man, who wrote this? patreon.com/chargerchat. We've got two new Patreon members to shout out. I'm shouting out Brandon Woodard and Jacob C. Arellano.
Welcome to the party, pals.
Welcome to the party.
We like mispronouncing last names. It makes
we
it
try so hard. but yes, if you go to patreon.com/chargerchat, you can check out all the funny, silly videos behind the scenes. You can get patches if you join at the right tier. So definitely go check it out. And if you don't want to go over there, that's totally fine. You can go on over to chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there. T-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions and ask Bolt fam. So go check out chargerchat.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, gang, it's time to go on to the next segment. It's Fan Focus, and this is a name.
I think a lot of you might know this guy.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
It's a good chance you've seen this guy before. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this. So let's get into it.
All right, guys, we're back with another Fan Focus, and we're super lucky to have NFL Mike from LA. What is going on, brother?
Hey, glad to finally get on, man. I listen to your guys' podcast all the time.
Dude, awesome. I'm so glad to meet you. I watch your stuff all the time. You're all over my social media feed. So
try my best.
Finally, and you're coming in at an awesome time because we're about to get some new players, we're about to get some new stuff, and we're going to talk about all of that. But before we do, always got to find out, you know, new friends. How did you become a Charger fan?
It's actually a funny story because my entire family is 49ers fans. My dad tried to raise me a 49ers fan, but at the time that I was growing up, the 49ers were boring. Kept trying to sell me on Frank Gore and sell me on Alex Smith and sell me on this before Harbaugh 49ers. Sure. And it wasn't a good sell. And I remember specifically, my dad would get so mad because they would always show the Chargers games locally. And he would get so pissed off because the Niner game isn't on. He'd be like, no one likes the Chargers. No one loves the Chargers. And I was sneaking away to my room and watching LaDainian Tomlinson cook people up. And that's how I became a fan because of LT. I was like, I don't like that 21. Frank Gore is awesome now, in hindsight. But as a kid, to just watch someone just smash the defense 40 times a game, it's kind of boring. Sure. The LT was electricity. Yeah. Big plays like crazy. You know, Philip Rivers was bombing the ball down the field to Antonio Gates, Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Jackson, all those guys. That's kind of how I became a fan. Eventually, my dad gave in and got me an Antonio Gates jersey.
Let's go.
For Christmas one year, and that was it. It was locked from then on.
So what does he think of, you know, us getting Harbaugh now?
He's pretty jealous.
He's
a big Harbaugh fan. Nice. He likes Shanahan, obviously. Now they've had a lot of success, and that team is loaded right now. But he definitely was like, man, if they get Harbaugh, things are gonna get really good for you Chargers fans. He was a big Brandon Staley hater. And I'll just say it right now, Dad. You're probably never going to see this video, but I apologize for defending Brandon Staley even a single time. You were right. Okay, you were right.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure not to send that to him so you don't have to like...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We'll keep it up. And I got to talk to you because your social media is so interesting. You do so many cool things on, you know, TikTok and Insta and all that stuff. Like, really exciting Charger content. Like, how did that get going? How did you start, you know, really getting into dialing that stuff up and becoming, you know, where you are now?
Yeah, it was actually kind of lucky, honestly, Kevin. I was in the military before, so I was stationed overseas in Japan. I was in the Navy. So I was there for 4 years, and I like the travel aspect of it, but the job itself, I hated. But in a way, I'm thankful for it because it made me realize at 18 years old, like, I don't want to do something that I hate for my entire life.
Yeah.
So when I came home eventually from overseas, I went to college right away. So I was working on something, but I was just any passions that I had, I was trying. I was doing all kinds of stuff. But the sports podcast that I was working on with my cousin kind of inspired me to like really get into content. And I've always been like a creative. I used to make like posters and things like that. Some Chargers fans may remember my page. It was ESOD13. I don't know if any diehards are out there, but I was a 16-year-old when I was making that page and it had like 5,000 followers. So I kind of reignited that again at the same time in 2020 when TikTok was starting to grow. So like I kind of got that little like head start on everybody on a new app that hadn't been really like exploded yet, but it was being talked about a lot amongst young people. And as everyone started flooding the app and users started flooding the app, there's only like 5, 6, 7, 10, maybe max, like content creators that were dedicated every day.
Yeah.
So it just blew up. It just blew up one day. Went crazy, like from 0 to 50,000 followers in a couple months. And, you know, that obviously gave me some inspiration to really take it seriously. And ever since then, I've been going hard.
That's awesome.
Eventually got to monetize it. And now I do it for a living. So it's a lot of fun.
That's amazing, dude. And how has that affected your fandom, do you think? You know, because you're so locked in creating content about the team, about the NFL.
Yeah.
How has it affected how you follow this team?
It's made me crazier.
A little psycho mode. Right?
I have so much investment in the games now. Like, if it goes wrong for us, you see my videos. I talk to Matt. I don't hold back on Raiders fans, Chiefs fans, Broncos fans, and the rest.
Yeah.
So when it goes wrong, I have to sit in it. And that's what something I made myself do from the very beginning is when it does go wrong, you'll see the video of me in the shower crying.
Yeah.
You'll see the video of me reacting to the game, even though everyone knows they're about to blow the 27 points. I post it still. I don't hide. So like that has made me crazier. It's made me more like on the edge of my seat with every play because I know that I don't just have the sadness of a loss anymore.
Yeah.
I have the sadness and the flooding of notifications.
Yeah. This is why you need to be sad. People just on your ass.
Exactly. No,
for sure.
It's a lot of fun though. It's a lot of fun, especially going to the games and people talk smack and stuff and give it to me in person. It's all fun.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
No, that's the craziest thing we learned about doing this podcast is the instant reactions on the next day. Like,
yeah.
As a fan, I would sit in it till the next Friday. Like I would sit in a whole week of being miserable, but now I got to like get myself up and try and be positive and have fun. Yeah. And it's actually been helpful in my fandom. So I totally see what you mean.
Yeah. I will say, Raiders fans, thank you. Because those videos, they do very well for the wallet. So
let's go.
Appreciate you guys. Take advantage of those
turds. You heard it here first. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the staff. Let's talk a little bit about Harbaugh's, this monster staff. There's a lot of coaches on this staff, more than I remember in the past. What are your kind of thoughts on the direction of the team and what we did with the staff?
It's been so exciting to see. It's so night and day to what I'm used to. Obviously, through the content thing, been going to training camp now for 4 years. And I always bring it up to people, and it's not really like to slight the Chargers. But through my training camp tours, I go to the 49ers, the Cowboys, everybody. And every time I go to Rams training camp, I'm just amazed by the practices like function. Everything is just so like, there's no communication. Everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone gets to their spots immediately. You could tell that it's a well-run organization, an organization that knows how to win a Super Bowl in the city of Los Angeles. And then you go to Chargers training camp. It just wasn't like the same vibe on the field. But now I feel like watching these videos and stuff, talking to the Bolt Bros. I don't know if you guys were there for the little invitation that they sent out to have some content creators come in. They were telling me some stories about some stuff that they saw.
Yeah, we were there. It was crazy.
And this is exciting because this is exactly what I've been seeing over on the other LA side. And it's what we need, honestly. And the biggest thing that stands out to me is like the changing of the mindset. That seems to be the focus. And that is the problem with the Chargers is consistency and the mindset, it seems, within the locker room. And I could tell they're attacking those two weaknesses. And with this loaded roster, you get rid of those two weaknesses and this team is playing the same football in the fourth quarter as the first quarter. Look out.
Yeah.
Look out.
Well, and this team clearly had to do some stuff to get the roster in a place to have the right mindset, right? So like them cutting, you know, trading Keenan Allen, getting rid of Mike Williams, to us as fans is forever. It's like, oh man, did that just happen? But in their minds, I'm sure it's like, all right, well, this is how we're going to just, we got to create this. This is, we got to do these hard things. So what was your kind of take on that?
I think at first, obviously it hit me, man. Cuss words, everything, especially the Keenan Allen move. I'm wearing Mike Williams' brand right now. But yeah, and I've talked to Mike Williams before. I've done a few interviews with him and he's helped me out with some content. So I was really bummed out at first.
Yeah.
I took some time to reflect. I started to dig into the numbers. That's what's really made me feel comfortable, Kevin, and made me realize why they did what they did. Because Herbert is actually better the more balanced the offense is.
Yeah.
He's like 21-4 when the defense gives up 27 points or less, which would be like the 31st rate in the league. Like it wouldn't be nothing special. I also dig in there and you look at Eckler. No slight to Eckler. He's scored so many touchdowns, been a beast in the receiving game. He's had 400-yard rushing games in Herbert's career. And in all four of those games, I think but one, they won. And it's just like I start to see what they're doing. They know that when this guy gets a rushing attack and the defense has to come up and defend him, it's going to be special. And that's what I think Herbert's greatest strength is off those deep play action rolls, those deep boosts, because he can stand, you know, 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and still attack the entire field.
Yeah,
it's awesome. And that's what I want to see again. That's what we saw in 2021. That's what we saw his rookie year. And it's been absent in the last two seasons because of the lack of the rushing attack, lack of the defense.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting in the draft's coming up. So we're going to make some adjustments there. There's a lot of talk of, you know, how our wide receiver is room right now. Wide receiver, trade back, tackle, offensive line, the not sexy pick. Where do you kind of land on what you want to see happen in the first round for us?
I think I land with the majority of everybody that wants 18 in powder blue as the number one. And then if that doesn't happen, it makes sense to trade back. I think that the need at wide receiver has been a little bit overblown, honestly. They do need a wide receiver in this draft, but do they need to use the fifth overall pick on a specific person? I don't think so. I think that Josh Palmer, for one, is going to be steady for Herbert as he's been his whole career. There's no reason to believe that Josh Palmer's not only going to get better with a better, more well-functioned offense. He's going to get more one-on-ones. He's going to get more opportunities. And then everyone is just like written Quentin Johnston completely off the damn board. Yeah. And I know it was a struggle his rookie year. It was a struggle Mike Williams' rookie year. No, we all
worse than his.
Mike. It way worse. And injuries and even worse. And I think that QJ has a lot of room to grow specifically in this offense. The pick didn't make sense because they had Kellen Moore, who's kind of like trying to air raid the football and running all these complicated passing concepts down the field when Quentin Johnston just needs the ball to just run people over. He's not really like this pristine route runner or anything like that. That pick didn't make sense, especially with Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison on the board. But now that we're going to be a run first, a smash mouth team, a team that needs a receiver that's going to go lay people out across the field, lay safeties out when the running back gets to the second level, now he's a perfect fit. And imagine he does that to them 10 times in a row, 10 straight run plays. And all of a sudden, Herbert pulls that thing out. This guy's running a 4-5, 40-yard dash down the sideline, one-on-one with some corner who's scared to get body slammed by him.
Yeah.
So I think he's a perfect fit now. I think he's going to be a lot better this year. And for his career outlook, it's completely flipped. And I still think that they're okay at that position. I honestly, if we're talking about the dream draft, I'd rather trade back and we somehow get Brock Bowers, yeah, get the right tackle that we want, and we get Rome Wilson and get him in here, or Michigan linebacker Junior Colson. Like, I want to see the perfect draft that I want to see is going to give us multiple starters somehow through this fifth overall pick trade back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this is the year with Harbaugh, man. He just won a championship. So he's been in the shit with all these players, all these other teams he's had to prepare for. This is the perfect year for him to get as many picks as possible. I have a feeling that he is going to hit so much harder on those fourth and fifth round picks than most other teams, just because he's been in it. You know what I mean? He knows who he wants. So I'm excited for just getting more capital, getting more picks, yeah, to see how we could fill this team out.
And I want to see them positioned in that fourth and third round to where whoever he has identified, if it's Blake Corum, maybe not even that early, but whoever he has identified as the running back that he wants, he goes and gets. Because I think that's going to be really important for this team next year. Gus Edwards is gonna get the carries. He's going to get a lot of carries. But they need another guy. And if it's Isaiah Spiller, I'm excited to see what Spiller can do because we haven't seen him yet. But I would love for Harbaugh to get his middle linebacker, probably straight out of Michigan, and whoever his favorite running back is in this draft class. And I think that we're gonna need a trade back for both those things to happen.
Yeah.
For one's sure. Guaranteed, I think. One's guaranteed. We're gonna get one of them.
Yeah, for sure. I do. People are kind of not 100% on Corum. I love everything about Corum. He may not have everything you want in terms of like the stats, in terms of the speed and all that, but man, the dude can run the ball. The dude can really get it done. So I'd love to see him as a Charger. There's something about him. I don't know what I'd like to see about that, but I love it. But let's get you out of here on this one, man. You know, you've been a fan for a long time, obviously. You know, NFL Mike Jr. sitting in the living room while your parents are watching the 49ers games, loving on your Chargers. So you got to have a lot of memories of this team. Mm-hmm. What would you say is your best memory?
A lot of memories. Good, bad, in between. Yeah. All-time lows, all-time highs. But I'm going to stick with the 49ers because this is a special moment for me. For one, my great-grandpa, he grew up a Packers fan. But when he was like my role model growing up too. So me and him were really, really close. And as I became a Chargers fan, he didn't really like Aaron Rodgers that much. He was kind of a Packers fan for Brett Favre. And I was able to like kind of influence him because he loved Philip Rivers so much.
Nice.
So he kind of became a Chargers fan with me against the rest of the family a little bit. And he was really old school. So of course he loves Philip Rivers. So that kind of like that old school tough guy, gunslinger mentality. But I remember very clearly me and him watched that comeback against the 49ers. I forget exactly what year it was, but it's the famous one where Jahlil Dye is looking into the camera. He's walking off the field like, you just got to believe. They just came back down from 30 points. Eric Weddle with that punch out. I love that one because as the Niners were running the score up, my family members were texting me like crazy. Just over and over and over again. That's like a 15-year-old kid or 14-year-old kid. And it just kept flooding in. I was like, of course, we have to get blown out of all teams by the freaking Niners. And the Chargers were good that year. I thought we were going to win that game. So I was pumped for it. And then slowly started coming back. And then they forced the overtime. Then the fumble happens. And then I just got to sit on the throne for once on top of everybody after that game. I was like waiting for everyone to text me. I was like, why aren't you texting me anymore?
Where's all the texts? Let's go.
It's one of my favorite comebacks of all time in Philip Rivers' career. Had all of my favorite players on that team that I can remember. And it was just a special moment because I got to sit next to my grandpa who's no longer with me. So I'll remember it forever. And cheer on Philip Rivers to the max at Philip Rivers' peak.
Awesome. Well, Grandpa seems like a smart guy, getting behind Phil Rivers. So that's awesome.
Right there.
It's all family, man. That's what the most important thing for us about this game. It brings me and my brother and my dad closer together. So it's so cool in that aspect. And, Mike, it's awesome having you, dude. Thank you so much for your time. And hopefully we can, hook this up at a game sometime or training camp.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when you're going, man, but I'd love to meet you in person and hang out.
I'll be there every day.
Are you going every day?
Oh, pretty much so. It's far from me.
Facility too. It's going to be the new facility, which is like, oh, dude, I got to go.
I'm obsessed with training camps, dude. Every time I go to a training camp, even when it's non-Chargers, it's so much fun. And you feel like you're a part of the team when the season rolls around. Because you're like, man, I've seen these guys up close and personal at practice, and now here they are in SoFi Stadium, you know, playing the New York Jets or whoever.
That's awesome. Well, let's definitely hook that up. I want to do that this
Hell
year.
Yeah. And, that'd be fun.
It was a pleasure meeting you, you know, like this, and not just over texts and stuff. So thanks again for all your time, and keep up the awesome work, and tell everyone where they can go follow you. And if they're not, you should immediately do it. Pause this episode, go follow him immediately. But where can they catch your stuff?
Yeah. So it's at NFL Mike, all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm on Twitter too, but not too much. But where I'm really looking for help, guys, is I'm trying to get my YouTube channel monetized. I'm so close. I have the subscribers. I have all that stuff ready to go. It's just I ignored long form for so long, but in the last 3 months, I started to pick it up. So go check out my YouTube channel. If you guys like the podcasts, you like stuff like this, I make like 20-minute videos just like this. Go check it out. It's all NFL teams, but a lot more Chargers than everyone else. And then one more thing. Everyone needs to remember, everyone stay calm. You can't stop destiny. Can't stop destiny. So no matter what happens, destiny will be fulfilled.
I love it, dude. I love it. You got me fired up. I'm excited. I'm going to go subscribe right now. You guys should too. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good. Bolt up.
Bolt up.
Well, that was a lot. That's some good energy there, man.
No, dude, he got me fired up. You were wondering why I came into our recording like, dude, let's go. I'm ready to party. Let's go. I was all fired up.
I was like this, and Kevin was just like screaming at us the second I put on the thing.
You can blame NFL Mike because he got me fired up. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, that's I think growing up in a family that is diehards of another team. I mean, thank God it wasn't, you know, the Raiders or the Broncos or some nonsense like that. But to have it be a 49er and you're just like,
it is kind of a little further story.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a horror story when I think of my kids. If they pull an NFL mic, I'm not going to be very happy.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, tough, man. I put myself in your dad's shoes and it's sad. I kind of feel bad for him.
Well, I'm glad he's with us.
I'm glad you're with us. I am glad you're with us.
Yeah.
Very glad. And yeah, I've got my, I just picked up this used Philip Rivers shirt.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Where did you get that?
I didn't even notice. That's eBay, great. Baby.
Oh, let's go.
I was like, let me just see what's on eBay lately. And I saw this used Philip Rivers. I was like, oh, gotta have it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm right there with you, buddy. And yeah, definitely folks, go check it out. Help a guy out. Get his YouTube channel monetized, for Pete's sake.
I don't think he needs any help over at TikTok.
No, he's fine there.
But let's hook him up on his subscription so he can monetize that bad boy.
Well, NFL Mike, thank you for coming on and chatting with my man Kev and instilling that energy into him, because it's gonna last.
I'm still fired up.
Yeah.
I got like a second wind listening to the interview afterwards.
But now, folks, it's time to go on to the next segment. You know him. You love him. It's the Craig Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man. Kick your feet up.
Craig Experience.
Hello there. Make yourself at home. Got some stuff to talk about, right? Moving on.
Mind if I'm transparent here for a second? Of course, I am excited about the draft being next week. Why wouldn't I be? We get to further see Jim Harbaugh's vision for the team come into form. We've seen a little bit of it through free agency. Now we get to look at the type of players that he wants to bring into the team and see what matters to him more so in certain positions than others, which I don't necessarily think the draft is a full-on indication of that, because there's this part of me that feels like there are certain positions that he feels like can be coached up and doesn't necessarily require having the top level of talent to play them. You can just get some guys with some decent traits, bring them in, get them with the coaching staff and allow them to flourish that way. And then there are other guys in certain positions, maybe a little bit more premium ones, that you do want to hit the ground running from day one. But we get to see that here in a couple of weeks. So right now I'm just rambling about. But anyway, look, I am exhausted, fam. I have done a ridiculous amount of player evaluations this year, mainly because the Chargers have a few areas of need and the draft is actually very deep at certain positions. So it is a labor of love. I'm not complaining about it, but your boy is tired, especially after this weekend. The youngest of the Smith crew turned 9. So my baby boy is in the last year of single digits. Man, they really do grow up fast. But I'm not here to be sentimental, right? Just want to talk to you guys a little bit about another and a potential offensive weapon for Justin Herbert because he absolutely needs them. And so with that said, feel free to take some of this and look at it in your own time. And if you agree with me, cool. If not, all good. But anyway, CC gang, the biggest of salutes. And to the rest of the Bolt fam, what is goody? She got Craig in Texas. And welcome to another edition. You know, I ain't even gonna lie. I'm so tired, I don't even have the breath control to do the yell. So you know what it is. It is the TCE. Let's go. Okay, so your boy is driving the struggle bus for real. Like, no joke. I need to get some sleep, but I'll take care of that later on. Anyways, we're here to talk a little bit more about what I alluded to previously in the intro. The Chargers are getting some more firepower on the offensive side of the ball to help Justin Herbert out, particularly on the perimeters at wide receiver, because the room isn't bare, so to speak. There just isn't a ton of experience and not a lot of guys with a bunch of production to feel super encouraged about. Now, all respect due to Joshua Palmer. When he was drafted, I actually really liked the pick. I had an opportunity to study some of his tape because of a connection that I had. Someone told me the Chargers were getting a really underrated player, and you saw him come up in some big moments, but he has dealt with some injuries throughout his career, so you can't necessarily depend on that. Quentin Johnston, still super young. We have to see if he rebounds from a not-so-great rookie campaign. And then you've got names like Simi Fehoko, who I guess is depth. We don't really know how much playing time he's going to be getting. And Darius Davis, who is more of a gadget guy, return man primarily. The Chargers got some building to do, and maybe they decide to double dip in the draft, which would be my personal recommendation. And it's very, very deep at the position. I'm sure most of you out there know. You've got the top level names like your Marvin Harrison Jr.'s, Malik Nabers, who is my personal favorite wide receiver in the class. And not just because he went to LSU, by the way. The dude just has a very, very different game. And you can even throw Rome Odunze in there. No disrespect to him. The dude just happens to be in a class that boasts Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. So he's typically your number three, depending on where you get your information from, whose opinion you trust, who you listen to, whatever. But those are the three names most, I guess you want to say, frequently associated with the Chargers. So you can kind of take your pick. But in a recent interview by one Marcus Brady, new Chargers passing game coordinator, he talked about the style of wide receivers he would like to have in his room, which ironically enough mirrors some of the stuff that I've said in the past. He almost used the same comparison, talking about building it out like a basketball team and having guys with different skill sets, you know, size, height, different abilities overall. And again, I agree with that wholeheartedly, which kind of leads me into the sleeper name that I'm going to throw out here today. He may or may not be a sleeper to you, because I've actually seen his name popping up here a lot recently, really in like the last 3 or 4 weeks. So seems like people are starting to catch on, especially when you have time to go through all these wide receivers and you realize just how much depth there is in this class. But I'm speaking about Malik Washington, wide receiver from Virginia. Well, with Virginia last year, he was a fifth year senior. Prior to that, he spent 4 years at Northwestern, who was not really known for their passing game. So if you don't know about him before last year, don't be surprised. Virginia brought the guy in and made him the focal point of that passing game. And when I say focal point, like, no joke. The dude had well over 100 targets last year. I want to say it was somewhere in the 140 range. As a matter of fact, yes, 140 targets total. He only dropped 3 passes. That is ridiculous volume with regard to the amount of attempts to him. He had over 110 receptions and 9 touchdowns, 1,400 yards. So crazy production. Oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned this. The dude is only 5'8 and a half and 190 pounds. It seems like he's diminutive in size, but when you think about that, I mean, he's around average height. I mean, what's average height? Like 5'9? So he's about 5'9, but he's also a stocky 5'9. 190 pounds for a 5'9 guy is not small. He's got more of a running back build to him, and he sort of maneuvers like that once he gets his hands on the ball. He gets into the open field, and he's not afraid of contact, even though he has some wiggle to make guys miss. Every once in a while, he'll lower his head and try to run through contact for some extra yards, so you got to love that about him. When I look at the Chargers wide receiving room, again, kind of talked about the names in there, there's no real true slot wide receiver, which is where Washington would play in the NFL primarily because of his size and his profile. But I mean, Quentin Johnston isn't somebody who's going to be utilized on the line of scrimmage. He's probably going to be more of a Z receiver or a guy you put in motion. He may play some slot snaps. Joshua Palmer can play X or Z. But you don't really have someone who's going to be a dynamic slot threat who can work the middle of the field and free things up for guys in the deep portions of the field. I mean, you can work him in the middle of the field deep, but I think he's going to be more limited on the outside. Again, it's just because he's 5 foot and 8.5 and he doesn't have super long arms. So those contested catch situations or just creating the type of space or separation outside is probably not going to be there for him very often. Although the dude had a 62% contested catch rate at Virginia last year. That would be amazing for a guy 6'3", 6'4". It's not normal. But again, not necessarily something that's going to translate into the league due to his size. It's just a different game altogether. So definitely want to have him being a menace in the middle of the field for you. He ranked first in both forced missed tackles and yards in the slot while at Virginia last year. So again, crazy, crazy production. And I just love everything about the kid, especially his explosiveness in short areas. When you go back and look at his combine numbers, he tied for first amongst wide receivers with a 42.5-inch vert, crazy, and had a 10.6 broad jump. So that's the same distance as Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Leggett. You know those are bigger body guys who are really, really strong, powerful, well, specifically Leggett, and they're more of your down the field, deep speed, get the ball out there and let them go get it, guys. So his short area explosiveness really matched what I saw on film from those numbers that he put up at the combine. So it was verified for me. I just think that when you look at the room as it's currently constructed and you just assume that maybe they go get a wide receiver earlier, if this is something that you believe in, it's what I think they should do. Washington would be a really good compliment if you decide to come back in maybe like the middle rounds. I think he'll be available somewhere around the fourth. If he were to gain some traction and move into the third, I wouldn't be shocked, but I think he'll probably be available in the fourth, especially with the type of depth there is in this wide receiver class. So that's it for me on Malik Washington. Feel free to go check out, wherever you get your information on players from. If you just want to watch some highlights, I'm sure he's got some great ones. I watch game tape to try to formulate my opinions because highlights are exactly that, highlights. So they're going to show you the best of the player. I think to get a more well-rounded view and formulate a more informed opinion on the player, it's good to see all the things they do well and not so much. So until the next time, folks, well, I guess the next time you get a TCE, it'll be post-draft. But I'm sure I'll be checking in here with some of the opinions on picks and things of that nature because you can always catch me on Twitter. You know where to find me. TOP_FLYT3 over there on the Bird app or X or whatever you guys want to call it these days. And you can also come through if you want some more player evals on wide receivers and other positions. We ran through pretty much all of them over on the Lightning Round podcast. So definitely come check us out over there. And yeah, man, lots to look forward to. Next week's going to be fun one way or the other. And I've pretty much planted my flag. I already told you who my favorite wide receiver is in the class, and that is, in fact, who I want the Chargers to draft, Mr. Malik Nabers. I would love it if he were a future Charger. It would make me so, so happy, but I am also prepared to have my heart broken again, much like I was last year with Zay Flowers. But at least I feel like there's a better chance of this happening this year. Just, I don't want to call it a hunch. I'm just hoping above hope. So we'll see how it turns out. But anyway, appreciate you guys for tuning in, joining me here. And until the next time, catch you later. And okay, love you. Bye.
Well, there you go, folks. Another name to check out. Another Malik. I didn't know there was another Malik in this NFL draft. Apparently there is, and he's also a wide receiver. And apparently some pretty impressive measurables. Yeah, like for being as tall as he is, gaining on those contested catches, tying for the vertical leap, like, this guy's like a little jumping spider. he's pretty impressive.
Two things. One, I'm so glad that Craig's working with Lightning Round because he's doing a lot of research on all these guys, like, yeah, times 10. So
I believe him when he says that he's tired.
He's tired. Yeah, he's clearly worn out. You still look good though, dude. You're doing well.
There's still tread on the tires.
But I think what's also to be said is like this is a pretty deep wide receiver draft. Damn. So yeah. I think if we're going to have a coach that's going to be able to pull it out and find us the right guy a little later, if we need to go later wide receiver, this could be the year.
Well, that's also like what NFL Mike was saying. He's saying it's gotten a little bit overblown, the need in the receiver room.
Right.
QJ running to a second year. I just don't think it's a have to draft at five type of situation for us. Also, does anyone else feel like you, I don't know, maybe it's just me, when you get burned by a player from a college, you don't want to draft for them again? I don't know why. I saw that Virginia pick and I saw Joe Reed. And I'm like, we can't do that. It's just going to happen all over again.
Not again.
It feels like, you know, when like you're, I don't know, maybe you haven't done this, but my wife has like baby names that she liked. But you think of that one kid that was just kind of a dick and you're like, yeah. No, can't name our kid that. It's just been
doing. He's a real like
some bully from back in high school.
So yeah. Funny you said that to my wife and I did the same thing. And I would pitch the name. I thought, this is a great name. She's like, nope, had one of those. Not. Not doing that.
Not quality. Yeah.
Not
I feel
quality.
Like Joe Reed did not, that to not me. Wide receivers. I was so excited for Joe Reed. Like, so pumped.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we got a steal in the fifth round, and he never even played. He just got waved and waved and waved, and it was just kind of a bummer type of a deal. So I hope that's not the case, and if we do draft him, I'll be on board. But I saw that Virginia helmet in with a wide receiver, and I was like, that's not the pick.
It was a knee jerk.
Little panic set in.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if what the Chargers end up doing. But Craig, thank you again for another awesome experience, and thank you for diving into another player that maybe we get him, maybe we don't, but you've done the homework, and I fully trust your opinion on the guy, and I'll be very excited if the Chargers end up going with that guy in the later rounds. So thank you, Craig. And now, folks, it's time to go on to the next segment. Ask Bolt Fam. Almost draft time.
Okay. Are we trading back? Picking at five? Let's see. Only time will tell.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Go jam a thumb up his bottle. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Bolsa hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam. And we start at the top with Manuelito Pedito, who asked the question.
Congratulations, guys, for being recognized by our beloved team that we all love. I've been listening to you since week two of the 2020 season, and I'm proud to see you guys develop into the big times. I once created a fan club for William Shatner, and I, too, also got recognized by the only difference, y'all actually got an invite to the Chargers facility. All I got was a signed copy of a restraining order. Guess an investigation really is needed first. But in all seriousness, I'm happy for all you guys. That's including the other podcasters, too, which create great Chargers content. Now, I was curious about something. Who came up with the idea to call it Charger Chat? And were there other alternatives? All right, guys, remember, like always, much love with reversal Heimlich maneuver type hugs. This Pedito is out.
I would have joined that fan club. Bill Shatner. Hell yeah. Let's go.
I want to know what that group is called. The Shats?
The Shats? Yeah. The Shats.
Chat.
Thanks for Chat. Done. Sign me up. I'll be your subscriber.
Welcome to William Shatner.
The chat.
Gone.
All right. But thanks for following us for as long as you have. You're an OG. 2020. That was like awesome. at the beginning. So we appreciate you.
Yeah,
bro.
That's year two.
Yeah.
But as far as other names, I don't remember.
How did it happen?
We had like a one day like brainstorm in the group chat, and then it was really that fast.
Yeah.
I don't even know how. I think it was Wooly. I want to say Wooly popped up with the Charger Chat idea.
It might have been.
Maybe.
I remember more the talk was like, is it Charger Chat or Chargers Chat? Which is funny because I feel like I've heard multiple people call it Chargers Chat, which just doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Charger Chat.
Charger Chat.
Chargers Chat?
Chargers Chat?
Or Chargers Chat.
Chargers Chats.
Chargers Chats. Chats.
The chats belonging to the Chargers?
But I can't think of... Good. I can't think of anyone else.
I feel like this is the brainstorm we had 5 years ago.
I think it was,
just like Charger Chat. It's just like Charger Chat. It hits.
Yeah. We knew we wanted Charger in the name, but I don't, honestly, that was so long ago. I do not remember.
No, I'm sure there's, if we dig deep enough in like
the text thread, that's 6 years
around
ago.
Six years. Yeah, that might be tough to really figure it out. But
we could find who came up with it, though. That could be cool.
All right, I'll see you guys in a couple questions.
Just keep moving that finger, Kyle. All right, Manuel Petita, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Anthony Tony Francis, who asked the question.
What's up, boys? How are my three favorite Charger Chat podcasters doing today? I was recently listening to an episode of Bolt Insight with Jake Hefner, and a spinoff podcast was mentioned called Charger Chat After Dark. I feel like this is a fantastic idea, and I wanted to get your ideas of some great kickoff show topics. Would this be a podcast shown exclusively on OnlyFans? Would Adam be open to doing the show completely shirtless, wearing only a pair of Macho Man Randy Savage sunglasses, screaming, "Oh, yeah!" Let me know your thoughts for some kickoff show topics. Kid, love you, bye.
He's still scrolling.
I'm still going to be a part of this, but I am
this won't be distracting at all.
We got to get to the bottom of this or the top of this thread.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this happened. This is funny because Jake and I and you, Adam, are diehard like horror movie fans. Yes. So the idea was like, we want to do a horror movie podcast, maybe not even Charger related. But then he's like, what if we combined? If you took two of our favorite things. And then he coined it Charger Chat After Dark. And Charger I was like,
After Dark.
It sounds a little sexy. I don't know. Topless wool dog. I could get behind
sounds
it.
Like, it sounds scary too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
OnlyFans. maybe it's just an OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's an untapped market, isn't it?
We'd have to really step up our game, and it might affect our reputation in other places if we really went full-blown OnlyFans.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening, but you're thinking Anthony Tony Francis, and I like that.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any other particular topics. I'm trying to think.
I feel like it would be a great place for the paintball scenario.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
We just live out
silly kind of things. Yeah.
Live out these scenarios in real life.
After dark. In thongs. I don't know.
The after dark makes it extra sexy. I don't know.
It does. It adds a spice to it that I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think I can commit enough time in the gym to make this work for me.
Yeah, really.
I don't think I have that time. But we're still talking to him about doing something like that because he is a passionate horror movie fan, and that's I make those for a living, and I love them forever. So I don't know, maybe. And if you got any ideas, Anthony Tony Francis,
anybody really, put them down in the comments.
Yeah, any other we're ideas open. For Charger After Dark?
No such thing as a bad idea.
No.
So
yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I feel like there's some.
I like that you're scrolling.
Like, yeah, as you still gotta scrolling. Be a
bad idea.
I'm scrolling
here
through
somewhere.
Some of our bad ideas right now.
Just give him a second. Just he'll find one.
Stop on something. And what was said? And what year was it?
This is not good. I'm only.
This is not good. I'm only the last Sunday
20th right now.
Wait, October 20th.
Yeah, this is not. I haven't gotten that far yet. This is
to 2020. Of 2024 or 2023?
Yeah, just the most recent October 20.
Oh.
2023.
I talked to you guys so much. It's
yeah,
crazy.
You're going
to.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get there. We'll see how long this has. We'll
yeah,
find
will
out
we get
the
there by
end.
The end of the episode? Only you put your tell. Prediction down in the comments. But Anthony Tony Francis, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Steve Dean, who asked the question. Hi, fellas. Are you in the trade down camp? I can't see it going any other way. But Steve Dean Grimsby.
Certified fresh, old Stevie, Steve-O, Dino. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, and nice to have you. I would say that yes.
Unanimously
down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only time it doesn't come up is if Marvin Harrison is sitting there at five.
Oh, Marv.
Then yeah. We immediately run out of that camp and into the camp next door.
Later, suckers.
Yeah. I'm sorry, boys. I kind of am still in the trade down, even there.
Even
there, really?
I think it's more valuable if you have a better player available.
Sure. Two is better than one.
I just don't think that we're a wide receiver.
You're still scrolling. I can't believe you're still scrolling.
Yeah. I don't think we're a wide receiver away from being a Super Bowl contending team. Sure. I don't think that Marvin Harrison is what does it for a Jim Harbaugh led team. Mm-hmm. So I just think I just don't think that's the play. In my head, it just doesn't make any sense that you let. I'm just going to keep scrolling.
I know.
I can't take you serious. You're just. Sorry. Keep going. You're making a great point. I just like yeah. you're multitasking like a pro right now.
Yeah. I got this. I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. The like trade away your two best receivers that are proven, have chemistry, like they're the guys in Mike mm-hmm. Williams and Keenan Allen. You get rid of both of them this offseason, and then you spend a fifth round pick on a wide receiver. I just don't see in what world that makes logical sense for a strategy of the team.
Mm-hmm.
I get Marvin Harrison is valued at a fifth overall pick.
Totally.
I just don't, it doesn't logically make sense of as far as how we're like trying to structure this team.
Yeah, because we definitely need to get another wide receiver. And it makes sense that, like, okay, if we need to get another one, why don't we get the best one? We're going to be sitting there at pick five. Best one's going to be there. Why not take him? Makes sense.
But then you don't have any elite tackles left for you in the second round. You don't have a lot of these positions that or a top corner or like we have so many needs. I don't think one great wide receiver is going to be what puts us over the edge to be a Super Bowl contending team. Now, you do get them for 5 years. So, and it doesn't add up to what is actually going to happen. I don't see in any world that we draft Marvin Harrison at five.
Yeah. All right.
There's going to be a lot of disappointment.
I know that's not going to be.
No. I think it's preparing people for, you know, Marvin Harrison being there at five and us not taking him and trading back. I think you said it. So it's now in somebody's head that it could happen.
And they're probably mad.
They're probably mad, but now they're mad now and maybe less mad.
I don't know.
I didn't
make the pick. Don't be mad yet. I don't know for sure.
I'm just swiping.
What do I know? I'm just a scrolly guy. Yeah.
Swiper keeps swiping. Steve Dean.
There's got to be a shortcut for this. There's got to be a shortcut to go to the top.
There probably is. We're like, oh, rearrange these by oldest to newest instead?
It's just like he's already around the horn. Got to keep going.
Yeah.
I'm halfway there.
We're in 2022. We're making good progress.
Let's go. Steve
I'm
Dean.
Only in August. This is never going to get there.
Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Salty Sports Guy, who asked the question.
I love you guys, but I really don't understand the offensive tackle in round one thing. Even in a trade down, we are paying a right tackle almost $9 million this year. Are we benching him for a rookie? Regardless of who starts, that means we will have a $9 million-ish salary sitting on the bench. I don't even see right tackle as a huge hole right now. Pipkins isn't great, but he's not even the worst lineman on the current squad. He's older, so I can understand the right tackle of the future. But if we are going down that route, why not get an edge? Bosa and Mac aren't around much longer either. I just think there are more pressing needs that can be addressed in round one. If we pick at five, it's got to be wide receiver because of who will be there. If we trade with the Vikes, I think a wide receiver and a cornerback fill more pressing needs for this team in 2024. It's like your living room is on fire. Your windows are busted out, and Kermit the Frog broke in and is slapping your wife and kids. And the first thing you do is replace some shoddy shingles. Like, yeah, a roof is important and needs to be replaced, but my cat just burst into flames.
I would. Quite the hypothetical.
Paints quite the picture.
Yeah. I would say the offensive lineman is more be able to protect your wife a little better than the wide receiver.
I wouldn't compare an offensive lineman to Shoddy Shingles.
I would say you can say that about wide receiver in certain instances. If that's, right. We're not using it that much. Like, offensive lines protects Justin Herbert and it gives you more time to throw to Palmer or whoever else is playing.
Right.
So it's I don't know.
Everything that we've heard, the only thing that we've heard from Harbaugh about positions is that he is in love with offensive linemen. The interview that I went to and we listened to the running game coordinator, mm-hmm. he goes, "We are offensive centric here at the Chargers. Like we are the place that linemen want to be because we focus on them." Harbaugh said, "What's the only position that isn't dependent on anyone else to be good? It's the offensive line." Like, that's heard over and over and over. And mm-hmm. we do not have an elite offensive line. Bottom line, mm-hmm. we don't. We don't have depth at the offensive line. And I think there's several positions where, I mean, you don't even have a center right now. You don't have, Pipkins, I think, is in mediocre right tackle at most. Not to talk crap about Trey Pipkins. It's just that's what we've seen ever since he's been on the team. We've had these hopes after one good season, but even in that season, he was injured. So, every year, the Chargers suffer an offensive lineman that gets injured, and you don't have a guy to back it up. This mm-hmm. is not going to be a team that has five offensive linemen, and then backups are just kind of whoever's. I think that we're going to roll 7-8 deep with really, really good offensive linemen, and that requires you to draft consistently high at the offensive line position. You can't do that through free agency. You're not going to have that kind of depth through free agency because it's too much money. So to be consistently good, I mean, there's going to be formations where we have seven offensive linemen out there. Mm-hmm. We're going to have multiple tackles and more than two tackles in the game at a time with a tight end. So I do see it as that's why it's going to happen. But again, I don't think we're going to be at five. I think we trade back and we draft a lineman at 11. But if we're at five and he decides this is the best tackle, because you're not going to get a good tackle in the second round. That's just traditionally in the NFL draft. If you're not drafting a tackle in the first round, there's not that like surprise. Oh, we drafted a tackle in the fifth and he's incredible. That just is not as consistent as doing it with the receiver and getting a Puka Nacua or doing it with a running back and they blow up and the Chiefs did it and with a seventh round pick. It's like that kind of stuff happens more consistently than getting an offensive tackle in the fourth round. It can happen. Jim Dollier is a little bit of an example of that. It definitely doesn't happen very often. So that's why I think you consistently draft offensive linemen in the first round, and then you see how it goes. But if they go pass rusher, cornerback, if you stick at five and pick there, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. We have needs there. I just think with what only thing we've heard from Jim Harbaugh, what we've heard from the running game coordinator, what everyone talks about at what this team is going to be about from guys that played with for Harbaugh, your lineman is all they talk about. That's just consistently the one position that is talked about.
Yeah, I think the Trey Pipkins thing, like you say, $9 million. $9 million is not a lot of money for a starting tackle in the league. Like he's probably at the lower end of the starting tackle regime. Granted, it's a lot, but I would be totally fine with him as the backup swing tackle. He can play left. He can play right. I'd feel comfortable there. I don't feel comfortable with him at right tackle. I've seen too many years of it. His, you know, last year he was tied for the fourth most sacks given up by any tackle in the league with 9. Every time I see Trey Pipkins, it stresses me out. So I'm on the thing where I think that's an immediate upgrade. I think he's more of a liability than Sawyer is at this point. I'm happier with Sawyer there. If you put a solid grinder right tackle next to him, he's just so big and he doesn't get down and get dirty. You know what I mean? Like the run game has never been good behind him. Not for the time that he's been a Charger. We have not been a consistently good run team with this offensive line. Mm-hmm. And that's the one place I could look at and be like, okay, go fix that. Mm-hmm. Like that's the big one for me.
Yeah. And I think when you're talking about guys that you're picking in round one, we've talked about it before. Like you want to pick those linemen in the first round because you're guaranteeing having them for as long as you do. And they're one of the more expensive guys to get in this league and get those contracts for. And the other thing too, you know, this is such a deep wide receiver class. Like Would it be great to get Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers? Absolutely. That would be totally fun. But like Kyle said, that's just not the identity of this team. And with there being such a deep wide receiver class, you can find some real gems in those later rounds. And it's just more important now to build that offensive line or even the defensive line. Like you said, like with Joey Bosa, I can get behind that too, if that ends up being the pick in round one. It's just with the performance of Pipkins and how he's been at right tackle, if you shore that up, like NFL Mike was talking about, like you get Herbert to do those deep passes, man. And it just opens up a lot more for him to do if you spend that first round pick, not necessarily at five, but like Kyle says, I hope we trade down and I hope we get some multiple first round picks. And then you got a lot of options to work with there. It doesn't necessarily have to be an offensive tackle and it might not even end up being the pick.
Well, and Trey Pipkins was look at this idea, drafting a lineman later in the draft. We drafted him third round, kind of came out of nowhere. He was drafted in 2019. He didn't become like the legit full-time starter until 2023, where he had proper, that's when he was like the guy that was playing, he had that position locked down. Mm-hmm. So that took a long time. We don't have time for that. I'd much rather go get a dominant offensive tackle that can come in right away, and you can bring the other guys along behind it. Because if Justin is protected, just think about it Justin-centric, right? If he is protected and we can run the ball, we're going to have a chance in absolutely every single game. Yeah. If he keeps getting hit the way he is and gets injured, we lost him last season. Just think about that. Just think about that when you're evaluating
protecting
who would be best to have for Justin.
Yeah.
And right now it's offensive line.
Yeah.
So I think we're drafting at least two in the first three rounds. I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those being a center, because even though we've got Bozeman, you got to have a center for the future.
I think a right tackle and a center are going to happen in the first three rounds.
Yeah. So I think that's the reason why, Salty Sports Guy, totally get the idea, you know, of where you're coming from. And
hey,
it might end up still being a wide receiver in that first round. You
may be right. Yeah.
But we're just trying to glean from what we've heard from Harbaugh and everybody else on the organization, what their game plan is, how they've conducted themselves this offseason so far. Our glass crystal ball says probably more focus on the line and the offensive line specifically.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We could be wrong. We've been wrong before.
Oh, many times.
And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Salty Sports Guy, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Daryl21, who asked the question.
Hey, guys. Oh, we're almost there to round one and beyond. Oh, first, I want to say congrats to Kyle, the coach, for representing the Charge Chat last week. Hoo-ha. So cool to see the coach, along with all the other Charger hosts of our kick-ass shows, together. Oh, as far as the dress code, I could easily picture Coach all decked out in Bolt fam gear, all others dressed up casual, and Kyle blows and all Bolt man. That would have been classic YouTube hoo-ha. Now for my question. With the first pick, we know we all want the shiny toy in a receiver, but I'm convinced we're going O-line. If we do a trade down, who do you guys like? Fatanu, Latham, Mims. Now, if we stay at five, then a receiver had better be the pick. Your thoughts, guys? Can't love you, bye. Hoo-ha.
That's a good question.
Daryl's on the lineman.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't say Fatanu, Latham, or Mims.
There's a guy missing for me in this list, and it's Fuaga.
Fuaga.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite tackle in the draft.
Yeah.
And we did
We're a Talisi Fuaga podcast.
Big time. One, Samoans are like the best football players. It's just a fact. Junior Seau, hello.
Look it up.
It's a fact. Two, Coach on our Patreon did a full breakdown of Fuaga and the way he is going to make our team better.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw Kyle break that down, it made me so confident that that would be a great pick. And I've been full send ever since. So,
He just has a different level of intensity than the other guys do. The other guys are physical freaks. They are great football players. They have incredible technique. He has all those things. And he also is just plays pissed off. And I think that's what the Chargers are now looking for, is that type of guy that has all those things, but then also just kind of mean, you know, like just kind of wants to beat people up. Don't let the powder blue fool you.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be, I don't know that I'd be upset with any of these other guys necessarily, but I would say Quagga is definitely on the top of our list.
I think Fatanu second, Latham third, and then Mims later because he only played like 10 games his entire college career or something like that.
Wow.
So he's a freak, but, you know, so was Trey Pipkins when we drafted him. He was a monster, you know, six. He's just a huge behemoth of a man. I'm more interested in, you know, production in college, and that's why they're earlier than Mims.
There you go. All right, Daryl 21, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Mr. Pekar.
Oh, hey.
Who asked the question?
Choices, choices, choices. We've all got choices. Trade back at 5, stay at 5. But today I'm faced with a choice that taps both. Flats or legs, nuggets or strips, thighs or breasts. You see a theme here? With draft night quickly approaching, I need to plan for my party. Do I make hot wings that make your culo go, ooh, no? Chicken strips so crunchy that it can quench your devil's lettuce munchie. Nugs for you to dip that will make your mouth drip. Big voluptuous breasts of chicken that are more than finger licking. Thighs so thick that you'll gobble them down quick. I need advice. Please help me choose. Not on the draft, though, because, yeah, we're trading down. So, what is your go-to chicken appendage at a draft party day one or day two? FTR, BTFU, and K-Love you, bye.
There's some whoppers in here. This is good. Some rhyming.
I like these, Mr. Pekar.
Those are solid, dude. Great script.
But, and this is a great question. Favorite chicken? How do you like it?
How do you like it?
How do you like your chick?
How do you like it, Kyle?
I go wings all day, but I like the flats over the legs. There's something just getting in the good, like, and stripping all the chicken off. It's nice.
I completely agree.
It's juicier than the leg, too.
But the opposite. I'm a leg guy. 100% leg guy.
Mm.
Yeah. Wings, legs, preferable, but 100% wing guy. It's just juicier. You just get bigger chunks of meat in the leg. You're wrong.
It's not juicier.
And it's creepy when you have to like get, no, it's kind of creepy looking. And people that like put it in there and go, well, you have the chicken in between. You got to break through it. Or, I don't know how you do it.
A good way to do it is you just clip off one half of the bone and then it's just a.
That's like psycho mode. That's creepy.
Kevin saw.
Look at me. I'm going to snap some legs today, boys. I don't know.
You're eating a chicken either way.
I know, but I'm not snapping the bone. It makes it a little scarier. I don't know. You're cutthroat. Hey, you like deal with rattlesnakes and live out in the wilderness now. So you're finger breaking good, you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
That's the first episode of Charger Chat After Dark. Breaking some chicken wings. It's too scary.
It's too scary.
Processing chickens.
Yeah.
I would say that I do love a good deep fried crunch of a chicken. But I'm also a big wing guy too. Like I personally, like I like getting the wings like without any sauce. So you get that crispy skin and then like dipping that in the sauce. So you get the sauce and the crispy and it.
You're not a rookie. You've done this before.
I've traveled down this road many a time. But those are a lot of good options there, Mr. Pekar. Let us know what you end up going with. Let's see some picks.
I need some picks.
My mouth is watering.
No, he's got super hungry.
But thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to the K-Man. Who asked the question?
This is for the three of you. Do y'all feel all the mock drafts being published by all the gurus are total hooey? And we all need to just like chill until the 25th? I sure do. Thanks for all you do for us.
God, yes. Totally chill, bro.
As long as you don't take them to heart and being like, this is the way, as long as you don't go full Mandalorian and say, this is the way, you know, it's just fun to do because really we're just trying to figure out like, okay, where could they go? What could they do if this is the pick? And then, you know, they trade back. Oh, they could get, look at this. It could end up with 25 picks if they trade back five times.
Yeah. They try to do the like, oh, well they have Harbaugh now and this is where they're going to end up going. Maybe.
Right.
And, well, they also have this connection to this player and maybe this will happen. And maybe it's like, by the time they get to mock draft 5.0, they've already gone through so many crazy scenarios that it's right. Like, you're too far gone. I would say go back to their first mock. And that's probably the closest to what they actually believe is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, I think now it's just kind of fun and silly to see how far they can stretch their imagination of who can go win. I haven't done the research, but I would say if you go back and look, I'd say probably most of these guys' first mock is closer to what actually happens.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. So there you go, K-Man. Just, it'll be, trust me, when 25th hits, they all go away. So,
yeah.
Just enjoy it while you can and try to have some fun with it. You know?
Yeah.
Just give it a whirl. Give it a spin.
Yeah.
The K-Man, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Zach Shelton, who asked the question. Since this team will be transitioning into more of a rushing team, how many touchdowns are you predicting for Herbert rushing this season? In his last bowl game at Oregon, he rushed for 3 touchdowns. So far in his career, he has rushed for 911 yards and 11 touchdowns, including his first ever touchdown in the league. Cha.
This is a good question. I think he's going to score a lot more touchdowns than previous years. I got him with, I want to say 5 touchdowns. He rushes 5 touchdowns this year.
Hmm.
I think that's just going to be a product of what they're going to have to bring in the box to stop the run. He'll get a little scampers. He'll get out. It'll be a little easier when we get down into that red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to.
I also think
try.
I was going to say, I don't think they're going to be scared of the quarterback sneak. I think when you have like a physical, we're going to beat you up mentality, you're not scared to sneak the ball in from 1-2 yards and just get it done. So I think that could be a result of him getting more touchdowns this year. They're not going to be doing read options. They're not going to go full Lamar Jackson type of offense.
Right.
But I do think as a result of people having to come up to stop the run and him rolling out on some passes, maybe there's some more room because there's less people outside of the box and they're in man. And when you're forced to play man, you're turning and running with receivers. You don't have eyes on the quarterback. So I think he could see an uptick in his like scrambling yards, but I just don't think with, unless you have a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL, you're not designing runs for them.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Some excellent points there, Zach Shelton. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Andrew Ramsey, who asked the question.
Hello, Kyle Dugan. I am a coach just like you, except I coach track and foo. I am the greatest one in the world, the whole world. I've been following you with great interest for 2 weeks. I will battle you with the entirety of my heart, and you will probably lose. But maybe, just maybe, you might challenge me. The Beatles needed the Rolling Stones. Diane Sawyer needed Katy Carrick. Even the sperm whale needed the giant squid. Will you be my giant squid? Also, are we all in with the Brisket Bros for training camp this year? Now that I get executive approval from the Broads and don't have to pay a licensing fee? Excited for starting this family cult together, and I'm looking forward to making Kyle say, I love Payne Perdue. Or we can settle on a compromise and you can say, eggy bread. It's the French version of French toast. I love you, bye.
I'll be your Ricky Bobby. I'll be
the giant squid.
Shake it back.
I think he's pushing for the Brisket Bros.
I told him, he's like, we should do it because we're on the Patreon fantasy football chat, which has been going since the season ended. It has not stopped. It continues. It has a life of its own. But it was brought up like, you know, the guys want to go as the Brisket Bros. And I'm like, hey. Make sure you make sure the Broads are handing out franchises. There's got to be some kind of trademark initiation you have to do. Like, there's got to be something. So, you know, I wouldn't say that this is a done deal yet. I think I need to get a proper word back from the broads on what they're looking for in terms of commitment and what that would lead to for sure. What kind of prank you would have to do, or what, you know, you have to go stand out in the middle of a Ralph's or a grocery store and put away carts for 10 hours to officially become a brisket bro. You know,
got
to
pay your dues.
Pay your dues.
But I think
it feels a lot like it's going to be like old school where we try to start a fraternity with a bunch of old dudes.
Yeah. Oh my God. That sounds awesome.
I call Frank the Tank.
No. It's my boy.
My middle name is Frank.
I'm going streaking.
My favorite part is when he like the lady at the in the grocery store or whatever has like the food. And he's like, if you tell anyone, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. We'll have him home by dinner.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that movie. I want to watch that tonight.
But I mean, going to training camp, I think, is a definite goal for us here at the Charger Chat. We would love to go to a training camp this year.
You know what's rad about training camp this year? 40th birthday. I would be so the really greatest 40th birthday present of all
you're
time.
You're blue from old school.
I'm not blue.
No, Adam's blue. He's older than I am.
I don't know, dude. I think you're blue.
All right, I'll be blue.
Okay.
He said reluctantly.
Blue gets to mud wrestle the two hot chicks in the thing. So that sounds good to me.
He dies.
He dies doing what he loved.
He died doing what he loved. There you go. Andrew Ramsey, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Marco DeLeo.
That's right.
Question. You guys legit now. So get your shit together and keep that positive attitude coming. On to my question. Who do each of you guys think what players will benefit the most Pro Bowl status with this new coaching staff? Bold DF up, everyone. It's going to be a special season. And are you guys doing a special episode for the draft? Can't love you. Bye. All right. So first question on which players will benefit the most so much that they get in the Pro Bowl with this new coach.
This is a guy that's been in the Pro Bowl, but I think he's still going to benefit is Derwin James.
Yeah.
I think the simplification of this defense and getting him in the box more is going to be just so much fun for all the fans to watch Derwin be Derwin again.
Yeah.
Brandon Staley, honestly, I'm sorry. I didn't talk ill of him as our head coach, but he wasted Derwin James for 3 years and it's really sucks. So I think he's going to benefit so much from this new scheme.
I agree.
I think it's going to be Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert is going to win a lot of football games. Mm-hmm. He may not have the numbers he was having before, but he is going to become a winner because they're going to be set up for him to win and him to be doing what he's good at, throwing to everyone, you know, picking people apart with ridiculous throws. You know, the more he has to just hang back there and wait, it's not great. Like, let him get moving and do the things that he's done that have made him special and why we're so excited that he's our quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to make him insane this year. I think MVP season coming.
Nice. I'm just going to pick, I would agree on both of those guys, but I'm just going to pick a different name just so I can be different. I'm going to say Darius Davis. I think with the way the kickoff rule has changed
that's a great one.
The special teams, how that's going to function. I mean, Darius Davis was second team all pro last year. I think he could be Pro Bowl status.
They're not going to know what to do with him. They're not going to know what to do with him with this new kickoff rule. They're like, shit, how do we catch this guy?
Yeah. He's in his second year now. I'm sure he's bulked up this offseason and gotten faster and stronger. So I'm going to say Darius Davis just for the hay of it. There you go. Marco DeLeo, thank you for asking. Oh, you got the other question. Are we doing a special episode for the draft?
Well, that's the question. We haven't really. Hey, let's talk about it live. This is how we're doing it, guys. Let's get on our production.
We'll do it live.
Here we go. Okay, we'll do it live. I think we do instant reaction to each day like we've done in the past, but then a little Patreon deal. Little special Patreon deal.
Yeah, we did do during the season, we did some live streams with our Patreon folk. Maybe we'll do some live streams with them for the draft.
That sounds fun.
It sounds like a good time.
I like that.
Yeah, but definitely reactions after each round. I think that is the plan.
Yeah, with some silliness going on. Well, there you go. You heard it here live, folks. Marco DeLeo, thank you for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bolt Fam with Athayer Kader.
Athayer.
Kader.
Who asked the question?
Kevin, I am not mad at you from the last show, baby. I love you, my bro. Please stop taking drugs. LOL. No way our team goes to the Super Bowl this year with the roster as a mess, baby. You're asking a baby QB to win 4 playoff games. Who are you counting on? Joey Pipkins, QJ Palmer. Too many question marks, baby. If we can win 2 playoff games, I'm super excited for next season. We're going to have money and experience, baby. Now to my question. Coach Kyle, I love asking you questions, even if you do not agree with me, baby. It's only a question. No hard feelings. Answer as you like. If the Bolts draft Alt, is it possible Slater gets moved to right side, baby? He is talented. What say you, Coach? Waldog, my baby, please take all Kevin's drugs from him. LOL. Give him beer, baby. Love you, my boys. FTR, let's ride. 2024 coming, baby.
All my drugs.
Can't have them.
I can't have any more of my drugs.
Cutting you off.
What happened?
You've had too much.
Had too many drugs.
I think he's talking about you predicting Chargers getting to, I think, the Super Bowl next year.
Hey, surprise, Athayer. I do it every year because I'm not going to follow sober. The team if I don't think they can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sober. Bleh, drunk on drugs, it doesn't matter. Bleh. We're going to the Super Bowl. That's what I want, and that's what I'm trying to manifest here.
Yes, always.
Always.
We're not about realistic takes here, Athayer.
You know this, Athayer.
But the question is to you there, Kyle. If we get Alt, if we end up picking Alt, Joe Alt is our pick for the draft, could Slater move to right tackle?
I mean, no.
I mean, no.
Now that Athayer's been like, it's okay, you can disagree with me. You're like, Athayer, you're full of shit.
Sorry, Athayer. There's just no way. I mean, I can see where the brain was moving and you're going mock draft. Hey, let's get creative. Let's think outside the box. But yeah, I mean, the left tackle is by far and away the most important position to have. That's your blind side. That's what you have to have locked up, confident. You don't have that confidence in a rookie tackle, no matter what. Even when we drafted Rashawn, we were not like, yeah, slam dunk, he's going to be awesome from day one. It was like, hey, there's going to be some growing pains. We know that. We're going to have to get through it together. I'm not moving Rashawn Slater from left tackle, no matter what, unless injury. If injury pops up and you have Alt at right tackle, to start the season, maybe you bump him over and bring in Pipkins at right. But no, I don't think there's any way, there's no possibility of Rashawn Slater not being your starting left tackle to start the season.
Yeah, he's a pro.
What do you guys think?
Pro Bowl caliber. I agree. I don't think that makes sense. That's why I don't know if Alt makes the most sense at 5. That's the one guy that doesn't fully register. It's like, I'm not the most excited for him in terms of watching his tape. Like, he's a phenomenal athlete and he's very precise in what he does, but I just don't, that doesn't excite me at 5. I think if that pick happened, I might be a little bummed out, just a pinch at 5. Mm-hmm. So I think if I feel that way, that means we should go another direction, take a wide receiver at that point. If it's between Alt and Neighbors,
that means we should probably draft him at 5. If you don't like the pick and you're feeling off about it,
it's gonna happen. History. Yeah,
we all know the history on this podcast.
Yeah, if they do end up picking him at 5, then I have to trust that is...
They loved him.
That they loved him so much that either they would move Slater to right or they would play Joe at right. Yeah. One of the two.
He's a Notre Dame guy. He's smart.
Yeah. So I would imagine that if they did end up going with him, that there was a reason behind it. They love the guy and it's time to get excited because that means that they just solidified one side, hopefully the right, yeah. of this offensive line with yeah. a big body.
You'd have three first-round linemen on your offensive line.
Yeah, it's huge.
You're only two away from a full-blown first-round offensive line.
So there you go. Athir, buddy, thank you for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions and Ask Bowl fam. We greatly appreciate it. And we are just another week closer to this 2024 NFL draft with Jim Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz calling the shots, making some picks. What's it going to be? I don't know. But I'm here for it. My body is ready. And
take me away.
And we'll be closer on the next episode. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
You guys better prepare your mock draft because I'm coming for you.
Whoa.
I'm coming for you, brother. And you, Bulldog. I'm bringing my E game.
Oh, shit.
Jeez, that was crazy. Yeah. Chargers chat after dark.
That's what I only talk yeah. like that at Chargers chat
Kevin after dark. Can be shirtless yeah, and yeah. wear sunglasses. But all right. Well, there you go, folks. That's going to do it for this episode of Charger Chat. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Hey, love you. Bye.
Hey, love you. Bye.
Hey, love you. Bye. Brother.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Do you like chicken wings, but you don't like eating the flats because you want to get all the meat, but breaking the bones is too scary? Then you need to order Coach Duggan's Chicken Flat Bone Snapper. It's a handy dandy device that helps you snap those pesky bones and get to that delicious meat. So don't hide when yummy chicken flats come to town. Just bring your patented Coach Duggan's Chicken Flat Bone Snapper and eat like a big boy today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.